Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
That's adorable.
I am adorable. You know that.
And sexy.
Kind of. I'm trying.
This week on Minority Corner, Eke, what do you have for us?
I am going to be talking about... I'm not feeling so
hot
today.
How to not get sick.
Well, I would lose on that because I'm hella sick.
Okay, maybe you'd be doing it to prevent it for other people, like a how-to.
Yes. Don't do as I do.
Since I'm sick,
I'm going to do one of my famous lists of African TV shows to show your kids.
Awesome.
Because I feel like Africa does not get enough representation.
Nope,
it doesn't.
And you know who else doesn't get enough representation? Asian folks.
Who?
So I'm doing another Hollywood whitewashing corner, but this week...
Goddamn Hollywood.
This week, the specifics is Hollywood whitewashing. It's the Asian edition. So we're going to focus in on the Asian community. So,
we've got
a lot to catch up with. On your crazy-ass bachelorette party, and Olivia poked it all the way to D.C., so...
Ooh, I can't wait to hear.
All right, let's see you at the corner, girl, the gossip corner.
Let's go right now. We're back, doctor, an emergency.
I need Dr. Meredith Grey ASAP. Eke is dying.
I am. And by the way, I watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy yesterday when I was like...
incapacitated?
In my peak fever.
fever dream.
Hulu was like... Basically, I was just laying there and Hulu was like, you watch a lot of Shondaland. Why don't we just drop you in the middle of Grey's Anatomy? How about that? And I was like, sure.
You can't do that with Grey's.
And I enjoyed
it. Good. But you weren't like confused. Why are they sleeping with that person? Who's dead now?
I was kind of confused about why Meredith had a black daughter, but I was kind of like, I'll run with it.
Wow, sure. That happened like 10 seasons ago. Her black daughter. And she has a black sister. And she has a black sister now. Spoiler alert for all our listeners.
What?
You didn't see her black sister running around?
What?
She has a black sister, half black sister.
I didn't know that was her black sister. There was one girl that was like talking about her date with a rock star, and she sent Meredith a nasty text.
God, I got to catch up. I haven't seen any of this.
I didn't know it was happening, but it was soothing.
It was really soothing.
Nice.
It was helping for your relaxation. Good. Glad to hear. Speaking of, so how did you get so sick? What happened? Was this from Crazy Bachelorette Land? Did you go to a bunch of gay bars and say, hey?
I did not. I avoided all the gay bars because I am not that type of bachelorette.
Specifically because you're on your bachelorette, you were like, you know what? If there's even a hint that there's going to be anything gay at this place, I better avoid.
Because I don't want to appropriate, I don't want to conquer zones that aren't mine,
okay.
I don't want to be obnoxious, and neither do my old lady friends. We appreciate and respect everybody.
I'm going to be the representative for the gays, and I'm going to just, work on behalf of all gays across America and the world, I'm just going to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for respecting us as not a zoo or a circus.
Hell yeah, man. I know. I only go to gay clubs when I'm invited. My other gay friends, because that's the way it should be.
Exactly. So what? All the shenanigans. Were there penises involved?
Well, Heather, my matron of honor or maid of honor, because she hates matron of honor, because it sounds matronly, obviously.
It makes it sound like an old crony lady.
It just means you're married. It sucks. Once you get married, you turn into a matron.
I see. Okay. She's like, nah.
She gave us, instead of making it like, you know, disgusting dick town like most bachelorette parties are, she gave us respectable, classy bracelets that had pewter dicks with wings on them.
Stop it. This is not where I thought you were going. Classy, respectable. It's like, oh, maybe she just, you know, Heather was like, you know what, ladies, we're going to turn up a notch. Still dicks. So you just had dicks on your wrist.
Yes.
Instead of dick hats, you had...
They're like, we had little angel dicks on our
wrists. Oh my god, you girls keep me young. I just never know what you girls have next in store. I can't keep up.
We called them wing dongs. Because for some reason we kept talking about Wingdings.
Okay.
You know, the font.
The font. That doesn't make sense to anybody. When I tried to write an essay in Wingdings, and it was very confusing.
Did you know, Renee, look this up.
Oh, what?
That there are people on the internet that have taught themselves Wingding.
Those are people with too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
I bet they know Elvish. I bet they know Klingon. Sure. Now they also know
Wing. Sure.
They know Wingdings and Wingdongs.
The classy bracelet.
I do want to say that this feels like it's our last episode because it looks like, Aneka, you guys can't see this, but it looks like I'm talking to my friend on her dying deathbed.
I am bedridden. I look a mess. I warned James. I was like, hold on to your butt.
And I was like,
to look hella crazy.
And I was like, oh, I'm sure she's just, you know, she's over-exaggerating. I click on, and I was like, whoa! Girl!
No, I'm propped up, y'all. I am propped up.
She was not lying.
I had to scoop back and put my pillow up higher so I didn't look like I was totally a mess. I'm not wearing a bra. I'm wearing my Obama riding a unicorn shirt with my robe that I've been blowing my nose
all
on.
All the things for healing.
I am a mess.
And she's got her, you know, she's got her Grey's Anatomy. Don't go to the hospital because if I know anything from Grey's Anatomy season 5, if you go to the hospital, you will die. They'll do surgery on you. And they actually started being called Mercy Death Hospital at one point.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, don't go there. They're too busy fucking each other. They don't have time.
I know. They need to get out of those steamy showers and start saving some lives.
Speaking of saving lives and Shondaland.
Yeah. DC, tell me.
So, for those of you who don't know, I work as just sending me, I'm just World Traveler James. And they were like, James, we need you to go to DC. Put on your white hat.
Yes.
Put on your white coat.
Yes.
And fix it. So I went to DC to fix it because DC is a mess and I need to fix it. And it's fixed.
Did you call anybody a bitch baby? Remember when they kept calling each other bitch baby on Scandal?
Back to back episodes and not just Scandal, but then it was in How to Get Away with Murder too. It was just bitch baby day. I forgot to do that. So now I need to go back and just yell and point.
Just like yell at bitch one baby. Person.
It was insane. I've never been to DC before, and it is the cleanest city for one I've ever been to in my life.
It's nice, isn't it?
I don't want to know how it got clean, because I'm sure it was something corrupt and weird.
Government
I don't want to know.
Money. Yeah.
They swept the whole. There's like, I didn't see a single homeless person.
What?
You know, that's crazy. Yeah. They don't know where they.
Well, they're all here.
They gave them one way tickets to here, to the Bay Area.
It's so true.
I realized something about myself when I went to DC. DC
What's that?
Is like my. It's my Disneyland.
Oh,
it
tell
is
me.
My Disney. I'm obsessed with politics. It is like I went to the Magic Kingdom. Like
what?
It's sort of. I felt like I was in. You know, you read about it in the fairy tales or the history books, as we call them.
And you just, ooh, nice zing, nice. That was good. I like that. Slip that in.
There's so much history there that in the West Coast, growing up in the West Coast, uh-huh. like everything's new. Like everything's like last 100 years. But like over there.
Yeah, we're the Wild
right.
West.
But over there, like, it's like, oh shit, like bloodshed was like fought here. And the architecture is just as random as Brussels. It's got some just random different styles all rolled up in one. And I went to the Lincoln Monument. It was amazing.
Oh, nice.
Except there's all these signs that say, like, quiet, please. And there was a bunch of smelly-ass high school students running around just being like, Star Wars!
Ew!
I'm like, shut up and respect giant-ass Abe Lincoln. Like...
Yeah, get them out of there!
Like, it just, like, it was really cool, though, to see all these things that you've seen on TV. And I realize most of the TV shows I watch are, like, House of Cards, political thrillers, Scandal... Or it's like, I remember when that building got blown up on that movie, or that's where they had that secret back-end deal over there on that bench. So just so many of the things that I watch and I ingest, and you can feel the backroom door, like the backroom conversations happening all over. You could just sense it.
Oh.
You're like, there are some deals being made right now.
Somebody's cutting the chick.
Yes, you can smell the corruption, and it is tense.
Did you see...
It's tantalizing.
Did you see Nicolas Cage stealing
the Declaration
he was
there
of Independence?
Yelling, as Nicolas Cage is always do. If you're ever bored, Google like Nicolas Cage yelling, and it's 5 minutes of him just yelling in every movie
I
he's
haven't
in.
Done that.
Do it. It's just him.
I need to look that up.
His acting style choice is just yell. So he was running awesome. Around yelling with some old manuscript that was there.
Oh, that's good.
I saw the penis monument.
What's that?
You know, like the Washington.
Oh, the obelisk.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. Which I think like there's like a lot of like ancient things of like power in DC that they're like, we need to put this here. Yeah. It's like some ancient ass creepy weird things.
Yeah, that's Illuminati. Everybody says, ooh, the Illuminati. I'm like, it exists. It's just rich old white people.
True. I also overheard the original monument. I got a free tour because I just listened to this woman talking to this group of people.
Oh, nice.
It's like, I'm not paying for this.
You're just falling behind them.
I did. I just snuggled. I pretended to tie my shoe a lot nearby.
James,
and she said, yes.
I just like how your trip at DC is just you sneaking around listening to people. That's what it sounds like.
And cutting deals. I went into some of those backroom deals and I saw what went down and I fixed it. But she told me that history about the Washington Monument, it's not a memorial because they started constructing it while he was still alive and they were going to have a contest. Originally, they were going to have him on a chariot. Bare-chested.
What?
Yeah, that was the original. They had a competition, and he was really embarrassed by that. He's like, please don't.
Good. Thank you.
Because he actually...
That's some Putin shit right there.
That's actually what the tour guide said, too. But Washington actually hated... He hated D.C. He called it Federal City. He hated, like, all the politics and stuff. He was very shy about all of it. Like, he just really wanted to just live his life and just be, like, a regular person.
Yeah,
very humble. And wear his wooden teeth.
P.S. If you're bored one day at work or just during your downtime, Google images of Martha Washington. Ooh. History was not kind to that woman. One day at work, I just decided to Google Martha Washington because I was kind of like, what's her deal?
Yeah.
They painted her so fugly. I can't. I was like cracking up. Like they like made
Maybe
him
she's
look
just
so
not
regal.
A cute lady.
Oh. No, they like basically it was like me doing Google Eyes as a doodle for her pictures. There's like maybe one legit picture of her that somebody was like, okay, fine, let me paint this woman. Everybody else was like, whatever, let me just slap a nose over here. Let me put this big ass bonnet over her face. Poor Martha Washington. I feel sorry for her. She's probably racist as hell.
They're just
but
like,
still.
Let's just put her behind this tree. That'll be easy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's
they
her
basically
arm.
Did. They're like, drape a flag over her face. Nobody cares. Poor Martha Washington.
Poor Martha. I will say, though, D.C. is, mm-hmm. like, D.C. is, like, well, in L.A., everyone's connected to the film industry. In
right.
D.C., everyone's connected to politics.
Really?
The deals are happening in Starbucks. Like, you can overhear people talking. Like, people who work at nonprofits or people who run companies that affect nonprofits.
Wow.
And it's all, like, and it's crazy because it's also all business. Like, my friend, Natalie, who I went to college with, who I met with, she works in nonprofit, like, for, like, after-school programs, which
cool.
I used to work in. She works for the same company that used to fund one of my after-school programs.
Oh.
Yeah. But she said that you cannot get a meeting with a congressperson unless you're cutting a check.
What?
They will not talk to you unless you're cutting them a check. So that's our fucking political system, folks.
That's shady as hell.
Shady as hell. So that's what's happening in D.C. So
just money exchanging hands. Hands greasing hands.
I also went by Michelle Obama's office.
Ooh.
So
is she out there?
She was not there, but it does say, like, underneath her plaque, it's, like, Michelle, First Lady, and then it says underneath it, she's, like, get moving, or what's her campaign? She's, like, move it.
Yeah, it's get moving. It's get moving.
But she was not there.
I love Michelle Obama. I want her to just come into, I might have a fever dream later on today, where she just comes into my room, sits on the side of my bed, and just, like, lulls me to sleep.
Rubs your
with,
hair.
With, like, a story of the political system. And tells me how she, like, talks to her children and how Malia's doing well at school.
Aneka, you're actually going into the fever dream. Come back. I can see you. Come back, Aneka. Come back.
I'm back.
You've gone.
I'm back.
It's
back.
It's not really happening.
Okay, sorry.
Well, maybe I'll
play
the part of
close.
Michelle, and I'll, like, maybe I'll get you to believe that you're Skyping with Michelle right now. Hey, girl.
I was straight up looking into the corner of my room. I was...
Ellen's here, too. Hey!
Oh, my God. Why Ellen? Oh, because she dances.
She's
too.
Always
I get
with her.
It.
Those two are just two peas in a pod. But I, my cousin works for the vice president, so I went into the hall. I stood outside, like I was on the property in the compound of the White House, and it's insane. You think about for hundreds of years, the different people who've traveled and walked on these things, like you can feel the power and the energy. It's pretty fucking insane.
That's amazing. That's so amazing.
Yeah. I could see, I was like right outside the White House. Like we didn't have passes to go in, but I was right outside the West Wing. I could see Michelle talking to Malia about what they were going to watch on Netflix. I waved to them.
You did not see that.
Well, I imagined it.
Okay.
I also saw the balcony where Fitz proposed to Olivia. Shut up.
Did you? Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a Scandal reference man. For those of you guys who don't get it.
You should catch up.
So that was my trip to D.C.
Oh, that sounds like you had a really lovely trip to D.C.
It was great. And I also worked, but...
Yeah, but that's not exciting.
No, not as exciting. No, yeah, not at all. But that's what happened in D.C.
Yay! So what else is going on? Should we go into the corners, or what do you feel like?
Nick is like, what do we do next? I'm sick.
I'm new to this.
Where are we going? I'm new to this.
This is only like our 30th episode.
28th, I do believe. We're entering in the return of Saturn.
Ooh, 28 is one of my lucky numbers.
Oh, because that's
because I was born on the 28th. Yes, and
I know that.
Do you want to hear the numberology? I was born on the 28th. I was born in 1982, yes. Which is 28 backwards. N.
That's true.
N is the 14th letter of the alphabet. My name starts with two N's. 14 plus 14 equals 28.
And I believe you also told us this on the 14th episode.
I did.
We've heard this. See? Fever dream.
Oh. Well, you guys just need a refresher on my life.
And my number is 23 because I was born on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And the Earth is at the 23-degree angle, and there's a theory how everything revolves around the number 23. Like that Jim Carrey movie that didn't do well. Well, on that note, let's go to the corners and see what information we can spread there.
Let's do it.
All right.
We're in James Corner.
And Aneke has nothing to laugh about this week. If you have been wondering where Aneke's giggles are,
gone.
Aneke says no more.
I know. I get so irritated with myself when I listen to these episodes, and I'm just like giggle puss after everything I say. Like, I'm the most fucking delightful person in the room.
You are the most delightful person in the room.
Come
You're the only person
on.
In your room.
Thank
You're
you.
The only person there.
It's true. So if I'm in here alone. But
we'll take a
I
vote.
Don't...
If the listeners are missing Aneke's giggles, please tweet us at MinorityCorner.
No, I don't like this. No, because I don't need no trolls telling me to stop giggling. To change
I've had enough of trolls
am.
Too, and I've actually signed off from social media. Like, I'm done.
Yeah, I know you did. I saw that. I was sick, and I was like, is this my fever coming up right now?
It's,
I don't know what's
it's
happening.
True.
I'm
we'll
gonna
circle
go back,
back
to sleep.
This if we remember, but first... This is not about me. This is about the Hollywood whitewashing.
Yes.
The Asian edition. Stop whitewashing.
Yeah. Oh, that was delightful for a very serious topic.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. You were like, that was a cute song, a little too upbeat. Oh, let's try this again.
Really cute. It was
Hollywood
really cute.
Hollywood whitewashing. The Asian edition. Boom.
Oh, that took a deep turn. Okay. So let's talk about it. Tell me what's going on, James.
Okay, so there are two images that recently set the internet ablaze recently.
Okay.
And they have to deal with two prominent Hollywood actresses in these two huge, huge films that are about to be done. So the first one that we saw was we saw the trailer for Doctor Strange came out, which it looks amazing. I'm super
Except
stoked.
Except for one part.
And what part would you say that is?
And it pains me because I love Tilda Swinton. I love
Swinton.
Her.
Swinton.
Swinton. Swinton. I don't know.
Swanson are those people Tilda. Who own the frozen food, you know, the frozen dinners.
I enjoy
dinners.
Those fish sticks. I do. I also enjoy Tilda.
You can enjoy both, Aneke. But yeah, Tilda Swinton is playing the role of the Ancient One. For those of you who don't know anything about Doctor Strange, The Ancient One is sort of Doctor Strange's, Yoda, Morpheus, Dumbledore.
Marvel. Marvel Universe, to those non-nerdy out there. Marvel Universe.
Yes, for those of you who are barely human, I guess. Well, I won't judge you, but get on the Marvel train, folks.
Ooh, that was a burn.
Throw in the shade. Throw in the shade. Sitting underneath the tree.
I know.
Throw in the shade.
Sip that tea. Sip that tea.
So yeah, we see that Tilda Swinton's playing the Ancient One. So that's the first one. And Dr. Strange, Stephen Strange, he has this horrific accident. He's a surgeon. Sort of like sexy Grey's Anatomy surgeons. And he travels his way to the Himalayas looking for enlightenment and redemption. And he comes across the Ancient One, who is typically Asian.
Right. Which is,
oh my God, could you imagine if he, what, maybe that's how they actually meant it
the
to be.
Asian one? It's basically that. It's basically that in the comic book, which is hella problematic. It's like your quintessential Fu Manchu, old Hollywood, stereotypical Asian, you know, wise one.
Right, but yes.
They had a chance to write that wrong.
Well, and that's what, like, and we'll circle back to this. I want to present the two problems that we have, and then we're going to talk about, well, let's come back and deconstruct this. Because you're right. This is a thing that we see a lot that happens in history and in the media. And in one sense, it's like maybe they were trying. We'll talk about this again. Kevin Feige was talking about what he was trying to do. And
Okay.
So then the second image that we have is Scarlett Johansson. We see her. We already knew this was happening, but then we saw the image, and it's just like, here we go. So Scarlett Johansson is playing the major in the live version of Ghost in a Shell, which is a Japanese manga. So the major, this takes place in Japan. Scarlett Johansson is playing a character by the name of Motoko Kansangai. I think I butchered
that. That's a Japanese name, so why didn't they cast a Japanese person?
That's a great question. And they've actually even built her as the major. They've actually even just cut out her Japanese name. Like, she's actually referred to the major. And she's a character who is a law enforcement officer who has subjected herself to so many cybernetic upgrades that she is more machine than human. And,
RoboCop.
Essentially. So, let's talk about the history of, essentially, like, Asian whitewashing throughout the media. So we actually see this all the way back into 1915 in Madame Butterfly, which starred Mary Pickford. Right. Mary Pickford, who was
It's not
white.
Asian.
No, not at all. And not other Asian. Other prominent actors who've played Asian characters, John Wayne, Katharine Hepburn, Anthony Quinn, Boris Karloff, Fred Astaire, Marlon Brando, Alec Guinness, Mickey Rooney, Joel Grey, Linda Hunt, Max von Sydow, Peter Sellers, David Carradine, Mike Myers, and many, many others, including most recently, which we talked about, Emma Stone. She played an Asian woman named Allison Ng. I don't know how to pronounce the Ng. How do you pronounce that?
I think it's Ng.
Ng? Allison Ng. And now Emma Stone's, like, background makeup, she's Swedish, German, English, and Scottish, and Irish. Like, I still can't wrap my head around in recent years how the fuck did they cast Emma Stone?
Didn't you know, James, that there's a contingent in Ireland where a bunch of Chinese people just decided to migrate over there? They're called the Irish Chinese.
Oh, I had no idea. So maybe that's where she was? I feel like I see that smirk.
Lies.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. Oh, also, remember, M. Night Shyamalan cast a bunch of white actors in his Avatar The Last Airbender, which is like an Asian fantasy.
He's Asian!
I know, that's really weird. Like, M. Night, what you doing? And also, remember, Gods of Egypt recently put a bunch of British actors all up in Egypt. It was weird.
Why can't they just hire people of color for roles of color? What is so hard about this?
Totally. And there's also erasure that also happens to not just, you know, folk. Erasure also happens with the Asian community. Because did you know, I didn't know this, but in Tom Cruise's Edge of Tomorrow, did you know it was based on a Japanese novel called All You Need Is Kill? And yes, and the main character's name is Keiji Kaira in it, and they changed it to William Cage, starring with Tom Cruise. Like, and that's a really dope movie. And how amazing it would that have been to have an Asian actor in it? And when we steal the Japanese like horror movies, like The Grudge, which I love me some Sarah Michelle Gellar, but that was they had this white woman running around, you know, Japan, all these terrible things happening to her. It's like,
why can't they?
The Ring,
like, boggles my mind. Why can't they just, at least, the thing that pisses me off the most about this whole thing is, they do full cast of white people. Cast one Asian person.
Well, in The Grudge, like, here's the thing. In The Ring, it was a full cast of whitey white folks. But in The Grudge, did have surrounding characters because it was in Japan. They have surrounding characters. But still, like, how dope would The Ring have been if it was, like, an Asian family. That would have been amazing. That would have been dope. That would have been so great.
Exactly. I completely agree.
Also, there's like, you know, there's like a U.S. obsession, and I feel like I feel like Doctor Strange is furthering this as well, and I'm a huge Marvel advocate, like, we all know this, but yeah. Even, like, in The Last Samurai, starring Tom Cruise, like, there's this obsession with the, like, U.S., like, white dudes going to Asia to learn their ancient ways and essentially become better than the Asian folks at these things and save them and or defeat them. And how much more interesting would it actually be to show Asian Americans going back to their mother country, learning their ancient ways, and coming back and saving America with these Eastern traditions? Because that's how it would really go down.
I know.
If we're really honest. Yes.
I just realized a trend in American movies.
What?
American movies love to have a white person learn a lesson from a mystical person of color. It's either like a mystical Asian person in Asia, a mystical soulful black person giving wisdom, a mystical Native American breezing in the wind, a mystical or learning love from a Latin lover. Like, what the hell? And this is insulting to white people. Do they not know anything? Do we have to teach them everything?
And maybe this goes back to why their culture is like they take so much from other people. Like, they wear their Indian headdresses, or take things and they reappropriate it for themselves or whatnot, because their movies are saying to go do this. It'd be so much more interesting to just actually have a story about the person who already possesses this ability, and like, let's see their journey. Let's follow the ancient wise person and their progression to becoming the ancient wise person. Like, that's way more interesting than...
I agree.
Also, this one article I was reading, The Martian, which is based on another... it was based on, I think, another Japanese novel.
The Martian's it's an American novel.
Right, but I guess in Andy Weir's novel... this is what it is. In Andy Weir's novel, The Martian, the character Venkat Kapoor was changed into... how do I say that guy's name? That black...
He's an amazing actor.
He's an amazing actor. He started off in Joss Whedon's Serenity, and he played the villain in it. He was amazing.
I love him. He was also in Kinky Boots.
Oh, but Joss Whedon's Serenity had, like, you might be thinking, like, oh, great, the black guy was the, you know, villain. That cast was hella diverse, so Joss Whedon, high five to you. It had a prominent black woman in it being dope, and it was an interracial relationship.
Love her.
There was another black character on it, like, it was just amazing.
It was good.
But, you know, but back off, like, it's okay that character in The Martian became black, so, like...
It's weird, that movie was so diverse... But they also flipped different characters to different races, which kind of made it awkward. But I'm just happy for a diverse cast, period, honestly,
to
tell you.
Not asking for much. But I do, so let's break both of these castings down. So let's talk about Scarlett Johansson real first, right? So I kind of can see that, like, all right, you know, Lucy made $463 million worldwide. Right? So Scarlett Johansson is a box office, like, powerhouse right now. She's got the Avengers pool. So I get that. But it's like, why not use her to actually... Where the fuck is the Black Widow movie? Like, what the fuck?
Right.
Why? She's the only person in the Avengers
to not character.
Get her... They even made her a love interest in Avengers 2, which that got weird.
So weird.
Also, this story gets even weirder, that apparently they experimented with making her character look... With CGI, making her character in Ghost in the Shell look more Asian.
Boo. That's just as bad as when they put heavy black liner on white actors back in the early movie days.
And it's like, why not just get, instead of spending all that money on CGI, just cast a Japanese woman to play that part, you know?
Right. Come on. Duh.
So there are six actresses who could have played this part. There are six prominent Japanese actresses that could have played this part. And this is if they're worried about box office, like, Ghost in the Shell is a huge franchise. The nerds were going to come out to this no matter what. And if anything, this is going to hurt it. Because I'm not going to go see this movie as much as I love badass, female-driven action movies.
And I love Scarlett Johansson.
Me too. And I understand. I just feel like Scarlett, like, I really wish you would have said, you know what? I can't do this. This is not okay. I need to step down.
I know. She's trying to get paid, though.
I know.
But she should have passed it up.
Yeah. So, six actresses who could have played this part... I'm going to butcher all of these names because you know how I do.
Well, I'm about to butcher names too in the next segment, so.
Okay, good.
You're going to be fine. Here we go. Let's just do it. It'll be
okay,
good.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. We have Rinko Kikuchi.
She was in Pacific Rim, right?
She was in Pacific Rim. She was also in Babel. She was the first Japanese actress to be nominated for an Oscar for over half a century.
That's crazy. Come on, America. Yeah. Get your
ass together.
That was
10 years ago. We also have Shikai Kiriyama.
Okay.
She's a singer actress. You will remember her from Kill Bill. She played Go-Go.
Right, I love Go-Go.
She had that like swinging chain ball and she was like not playing around. And did you know that it was her idea to have that one tear of blood come from her face.
Oh, really? Ooh, bringing ideas to the roles. I love it.
She was like, listen, this needs to happen. There is Karen Fukuda. Mm-hmm. She is 23, Japanese-American actress. She went to UCLA. You will next see her in the soon-to-be blockbuster Suicide Squad movie.
So much buzz behind that movie.
It looks amazing. She'll be playing Katana. That movie also has, like, hella female characters in it. We have one woman. There's, like, a lot.
A ton. And they're all, like, badass. At least I think so. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
And what's her face is in it? I always blink on her name. Annalise Keating.
Oh, Viola Davis.
Yes, she's playing Amanda Waller, who's a huge character in DC, so expect more of her.
Yeah.
There's also Tao Okamoto.
Okay.
She is this fashionista, 30 years old. She's been in Hannibal. She's an up-and-coming actress. Ooh. She's really dope.
Yeah.
And there's Kiki Tsukenzi. She is from a long line of descendants of samurais.
That's so cool.
Like, yeah, right? Isn't that dope? Mm. And she was playing a character on NBC's Heroes Reborn, which I did not I think I got canceled again. Sorry, Heroes. But she's good. And then there's Kimiko Glenn. You'll remember her from Orange is New Black. She played the character Sunshine.
Yes.
Like the hippie one. And she also was...
She's real...
Yeah. What?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. She's in Law & Order SVU because... SVU. Because who hasn't been? And she's also in Broad City. She played like the annoying cashier, I guess. I haven't seen it, but...
Right. She's like a really good comedic actress. That would add depth to her role.
So it's not like there's not Asian actresses, and this movie was gonna blow up. Like it has a huge fan base. I'm not gonna go see it because I just can't get behind this ridiculous casting.
And I love Scarlett Johansson.
Me too. It
just doesn't work.
It was an opportunity for her to like say, you know what, this is not right, but she's that. I can't, you know, go get that money, girl, I guess.
Yeah, she's trying to get paid, but still, she's rich enough. She could have some integrity.
So,
you know.
Then going back to the ancient.
But whatever.
So going back to the ancient one.
Yes.
So Kevin Feige pretty much said, well, you know, he wanted to break away from that traditional casting of like the old ass, like, you know, ancient casting. Like the old wise Asian,
right?
He was trying to go
for
that.
Which is hashtag racist.
So he was And then he just was like, what could we do? And it just popped to him Tilda Swinton, which I think it's like great that he's trying to break away from traditional. Like they made it a woman,
right.
But why not make it like you could have made it an Asian woman or something, like you know,
right? Or you know what? I had an idea when I watched the trailer.
Yeah.
Clearly, they wanted to make her, like, an otherworldly being, you know, something different that's beyond gender. But when she talks, she just sounds like a British woman. So what they should have did, they should have CGI'd out her. They should have made her some, like, cosmic ass, just globe of light. And nobody would give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's
everybody
true.
Would be like, that's really cool.
Wow, look at you this. Know? Like, yeah, just otherworldly being. Because that's what they were trying to go for. So why is, like, British the default for, like, otherworldly, I guess?
Right. It's just Tilda in a bald cap.
And you know what's also weird? Like, here's the thing. You still have Benedict Wong playing her subservient assistant. So now it's like
really?
You just really had this like white woman come in and now she's the boss, but everything else, she's still in Tibet. She's still like, you know, all the way in Tibet. So it's still...
That's some frickin' British imperialism. I can't handle that.
And this one article I was reading had this really good example of, you know, some people want to bitch and moan about, like, well, don't take our white roles, or this is just how it is. Here's the thing. Take two children. One of them has 1,000 action figures, while the other one has just one. If you take a single figure away from the first child, it is possible, not probable, that he or she won't even notice that it's gone. And even if he or she did complain, any sane person would be like, listen, you've got all these other toys, and acknowledge the virtues of sharing and generosity. But...
yeah, this is good.
If you turn to the other child who only had the two, they'd be devastated if you took one away, you know?
Right.
Because they only have, like, these two, and then they start to lose hope that they, you know, when you give them another one, let's say if you were to give them a third one, it gives them, like, hope of that more to play with, you know?
Right, exactly. I love this analogy.
And so then the other thing I want to, like, end on is, like, well, how does this then start to then affect how we view things in a larger cultural context? Because, again, you and I are the same standpoint that media matters.
Right.
You know, and so when we talk about how Asian women and men are viewed typically in media, you know, there was this video that went on recently that asked these, you know, these women, do you find Asian guys sexy? And the women just laughed. And then we...
that's bullshit.
We look at how Asian men are represented in media. They're mostly nerdy, foreign, undateable butt of jokes. Like, that is the traditional way that they tend to be casted. And only about 1% of leading roles even go to Asians. And this is why we start talking about things like why, you know, Asian folks tend to go towards skin whitening or trying to appear as white because that's what's, you know, desirable. Like, there's not the leading, you know, love interest as an Asian guy. Like, that just doesn't typically happen, which is bullshit. There's hella sexy Asian dudes.
It's true.
And then, but the opposite happens for Asian women. They tend to be portrayed as sex objects, exotic, subservient, controllable. And 2 million app users were surveyed, and actually Asian women win against all other races.
Oh. Because I think,
yeah. Because they're, you know, these sexy, subservient, controllable, sexualized women. And the opposite happens for Asian men. Asian men get the lowest ratings and messages on most, like, things like OkCupid.
That's so fucked up.
I will say, though, I think the opposite, at least in San Francisco, the gay white dudes love Asian dudes. But I think that's the male gaze still happening, because I think that these white gay men still see them as these sexual objects, subservient, controllable.
So oh, there's a lot of layers in that one, because there's a little bit of, like, feminization, and then male gaze, and then, like, all sorts of layers in that. That's complicated.
So, I want to just close by, like, again, like, I'm so sad for, like, you know, Asian community, like, and I feel like, they don't get as upset, I guess? I don't know, like, I don't see them, you know, it's a miracle we get all upset, like, I mean, not, well, we, rightfully so, there's such a lack of, you know, black representation, but there's a lack of us, then Asian folks are, like, invisible, hella invisible.
It's just, I feel like the stereotype is still persisting, and I think, and I can't speak for a group of people, you know, but I think there's anger out there, for sure. There's a really good blog called Angry Asian Man that I read from time to time, and he calls out all of the bullshit, which is, I would highly suggest people to go read his stuff. Constant Wu, she's on Twitter, she's constantly outspoken, she's on Fresh Off the Boat, she plays Jessica, she's hilarious.
She's hilarious, I love that show, she is so good, if you're not watching it, change it up, watch
she's
that show.
So good, and she's constantly calling out the Hollywood bullshit, she's great about that, good. She's been really outspoken about, the Ghost in the Shell movie. She also is a little controversial, which I appreciate a little controversy, but I also get a little weird. And George Takei did this too, where they kind of equate it to blackface and they kind of talk about it that way, which makes me feel a little weird because I don't want to diminish one group's struggle against another, but I get get
it's
attention.
Its own sort of struggle. But I mean, there isn't such thing as like yellow face, which we've seen in Hollywood, and like this is essentially that.
Right. It's exactly that.
I also want to close by just telling everybody, go out there and just everybody go fucking Asian guy.
Oh my god.
Everybody go out there and please have sex with Asian guys. I can't. James. I'd partake in this movement, but I can't. I have a boyfriend, and the next day he's about to get married, so we can't lead the march on this. But everybody, go have sex with Asian guys.
James.
And what?
Hold on.
What? Go fucking no. Asian dude. Please,
this is
dude.
Exactly the same as when we called out that one dude who was going to go have sex with black women across America. And we were mad at him.
Well, I do think that we need to, like, I want them to get laid. I think
this is what
sexy.
I think needs to happen. If you find yourself not attracted to a group of people, you need to check yourself. That's what needs to happen. If you're like, I don't find Asian guys attractive, ask yourself why.
Then go have sex with one.
Why? Like, just come on.
Okay. Well, I think there's a happy medium between both, but maybe like extra step outside of your like be right. Like, you know what? I'm gonna like maybe take that extra bit of step because we're so programmed to view, you know, Asian men in a certain way
right.
And Asian women away. So like, become aware of it and challenge
there
yourself.
There we go.
On.
Yes.
We'll close. Is that the hap? Is that what you? That's
yeah,
what
I
meant
like that.
To say.
That's good. Readjusted. We adjusted the...
Okay, thank you. Thanks for helping me find the platform.
And we also need to recognize how different people are portrayed in the media. One other example I want to bring up before we close. There's a show called Two Broke Girls, which is terrible. It's a terrible show.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, that Asian guy who's in there, everyone stop watching that show. That's
He's
ridiculous.
From San Francisco. He went to school with one of my friends. He does not have an accent. Why do they make him have an accent? And I watched 2 seconds of it yesterday when I was in the middle of a fever dream again. And... they, within the 2 seconds of me watching it, they made a joke about his height, they made a joke about his small penis, and they made a joke about him not getting dates. Like,
and that, and
what
I think
the
I've,
fuck?
I, here's the thing, I've also only watched like 2 seconds of that show ever, and that was the same jokes that they essentially, I guess every episode they're just making this stupid fucking joke. Like, that's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
I'm over it.
I'm over
so,
it too. It's dumb.
Challenge what you're watching, y'all. This is not okay. It's 2016. And mm-hmm. We need to cast, like, oh, the other thing I was going to say is Marvel also missed out on an opportunity to cast, and they're doing their Defender series. They have Jessica Jones, Daredevil,
yeah.
Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist, who in the comics is this, you know, white guy who gets these magical powers from, like, you know, Asia.
Right.
And they have an opportunity where they could have cast an Asian actor in this role, and
right.
They didn't. They just casted it. It's another, Danny Rand is going to be white as opposed to, like, I first, when I heard about Iron Fist, I was like, oh, he must be an Asian guy, like, because I heard his backstory, and then
right.
I find out that he's white, like,
God damn,
that's
again.
Stupid.
Again.
Again, so, it's so what a missed opportunity.
I know. Oh.
On Marvel on both counts, so.
I have a positive story, I just realized. I have a positive one. They're remaking The Magnificent Seven, which is
And there's a diverse cast in that.
Yeah, and they pretty much have everybody, I think. They have Denzel Washington, they have Chris Pratt, and then I noticed that they have an Asian guy, and they also have a Native American within the Magnificent Seven, and a woman, so...
Which is great, because all those people did exist in, you know, American times. Like,
right.
We can... And just in general, like, when we're retelling stories, it's like, if we're really just trying to get the story across, like, we can be more interesting and creative in our casting.
Right.
There's no reason why not.
And
to.
Did you...
2016.
Did you know that Magnificent Seven was based off of a samurai movie? But...
Oh,
Seven Samurai. That's... They took Seven Samurai, and then they changed it to a Western movie. So, yeah, it's about time they put some Asian people in that cast.
Because it's their fucking story,
right.
So...
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you, James. This
All
was
right.
interesting.
Well, yeah, let's cut over to your corner, girl. I can't wait to hear you butcher some names.
Yay.
Aneka.
Yes.
I forgot to mention something hilarious to you.
What?
Or not hilarious, just interesting.
Ooh, what?
When I was in D.C. meeting with my two friends, one of them, both of them from college, they never met. And I just was running out of time, so I was like, you two, meet me here. anyways, one of them is of Latino descent, and the other one is of Asian descent. We went to my favorite restaurant, Vapiano's, which is a... It's a chain all over the world, and now it's in D.C.
Okay. I was going to say, how do you have a favorite restaurant in a place you've never been before?
No, it's an Italian chain that's owned by Germans. My first one I went to was in Tallinn, Estonia, and then the second one I went to was Amsterdam, and now I went to the one in D.C.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, we're sitting and she was asking me questions about my podcast, Minority Corner. And then I told her about the history of it.
Yeah.
And then she looked and she's like, oh my God. Because she sat us down first. She got there first. And yeah. Where did she sit? In the corner. We were in Stop the corner. We looked around it. And we were like, oh my God, we're minorities in the corner. Minorities tend to gravitate towards the corner.
Why do we do that? We need to get out of the corner.
We naturally were in the corner. She's like, we could have been recording your podcast right now because we are all
we
three minorities
sit
sitting in
the
corner.
Middle. That's a national movement, y'all. All of
minority
all
middle.
POCs sit in the middle of the room.
POCs, gays, for some reason, women are minorities, just with they're represented and they're treated. We all need to make
for some reason, middle. We are minorities, women are.
Women are the majority. Check that. Women have the majority, the population are the majority. Now, their power,
our
yes.
rights
and the representation,
are not there. Yes.
I know. Some ladies, you all need to step it up because you outnumber us. So that's your fault. I'm just kidding.
I am totally leaving that on the ground and walking away from it because I still want to be friends with you.
You know I'm an ally, but
you
have the numbers.
You are feisty today.
You have the numbers, so take it. I'm on your side. Weapons down.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, get out of the corner, everybody.
Get into
and
the middle.
You ready for this corner right now?
I'm going to eat wheat thins as you talk.
Can you not crunch in your mic while I'm talking about this, please?
Sorry. Okay, I'll back out.
Thank you.
Grunge. I'm hungry.
I know you're.
I didn't eat
lunch. Well, I haven't eaten either. And I have half my brain cells working right now.
Fair enough.
All right. So I want to talk about Africa. People, one, think Africa is a country, and it is not. It is a continent filled with hella countries. Two.
We should play that song, Africa. I dreamed a dream in Africa.
No, because it's by white people.
I was going to say that's weird. Yeah, that's true.
So,
you know, on that Bruce Springsteen song, they talk about Born in the USA. Uh-huh. And I was listening to 80s on Spotify, and I was listening to the words of it. That song, don't ever sing that song. Do you know what they say in that song?
What they
it's
say?
Like, Born in the USA, uh-huh. Went over to fight the yellow man.
Ooh,
Born
no.
in the USA.
Oh, you
yeah.
know why? It's about Vietnam. It's like a political
song. Well, I know,
song.
But fuck that.
I need to listen to it before I talk about it. Anyways, Africa.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's okay. You're on a roll. You need to eat some of those Wheat Thins, actually, away from the microphone. That is right next to the microphone.
It's away from my podcasting microphone.
I hear it. Oh, okay. I hope it is. Okay, anyways, Africa. So what I think, and I like what I've done before on my list, I think that you need to start our youth off early. I think every single youth, not just youth of color, but every youth, needs to be exposed to the variety and wonderfulness of Africa and how,
true,
you know, math and culture and stuff started there as well, not just in Egypt. It's all throughout the whole country. And to do that is to look at educational series that are either based in Africa, done by Africans, or about Africans. So I'm going to read a list for those of you parents or those of you that are in education to share with children or to watch yourself so you could be more exposed to the culture of Africa because it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Okay, so the first
I've
one.
Been.
I know, I haven't. I want to go.
I was Morocco, but it's still technically on Africa.
You're in Africa. Okay, so the first one is called Ubongo Kids. It is an exciting animated educational TV series watched by over 1.4 million viewers in Tanzania and available in over a million households across East Africa. Animated characters Kabina, Kiduchi, Koba, and Baraka go on adventures each episode using their wits and knowledge of math to solve mysteries and problems in their community. With the help of Mama Ngoje, a mathematical bird, Junior Jumbo, a frugal elephant, and Uncle T, a rapping giraffe, they find the fun in math. So that sounds cute.
That sounds great. It's like, especially, yeah, I mean, if I think about growing up, if you were to see, like, these characters, I mean, watching black characters do amazing things, like, I would be amazing.
Just be normal. Instead of, like, in between your cartoons, you see some, like, sad African baby with a fly on its face and some white person telling you to spend money for Africa. Like, you need to see that there's, like, a whole nother world there.
All I had growing up was Fat Albert and CJ, C-Bear and Jamal.
Oh, my God. I totally remember those. With
the voice, C-Bear and Jamal, which was the voice of Ice-T. I think it only had two seasons, but I love me some C-Bear and Jamal.
I don't think I watched C-Bear and Jamal, but I did watch Fat Albert, which was not the best show. What did they just do? Walk around all day long? That's what I feel
like
the show was.
They did, actually. They just walked around, sometimes in, like, the dump yard.
Yeah, they, like, walked from one house to the dump yard and then walked back. What a dumb show.
Yeah, they were not... They were not solving, you know, problems like this show. Like
math problems. So, they got a frugal-ass elephant in this one. Okay.
Which kids need to learn how to save money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next show.
I need to learn.
Oh, and all of these, you can find them on YouTube.
Okay.
So there's Abeba and Abeba. Abeba and Abeba is the first ever animated series to be made in Ethiopia by and for Ethiopians. It follows a standard kids series format of 7-minute episodes. That's one story a week for a year, and it's aimed at an audience of 6 to 12 year olds. The show's themes use the Ethiopian constitution as guidance and intend to teach the rights of all children in Ethiopia in a fun and entertaining way. So get to know Ethiopia. Okay, then there
again, because like all the images you ever see are just like sad.
Right,
and, like, this is amazing.
Starving
this is
people.
Empowering. This is great.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is called Afro Games. Five children of...
You're going to say Afro-gays. I was like, yes. Afro-gays.
Games.
I want to call myself an Afro-gay from now on.
That's kind of catchy. I'm not going to hate on that. It sounds good.
Yeah.
You should make it into a shirt.
An Afro-gay. Yes.
Hashtag Afro-gay.
Just thinking about it. Hashtag Afro-gay. You heard it first.
I'm going to be a hashtag Afro-gay ally.
Yeah, that's cute. We'll get t-shirts.
That's kind of cute. Okay. So the next one is called Afro-games. Five children of different backgrounds team up through games from Africa's soil.
Like, can you keep clarifying that? Thank you.
Use them to solve problems. Though this series, we want to share to the world an engaging and personal window into our cultures. That was a bad summary, but check out Afro Games.
Games. People.
And then buy our shirt, Afro Gays.
Yeah, do both of those things.
The next one is called Booba and Zaza. I need to take care of myself and not laugh at these names.
But they sound cute. I want to name my daughter Zaza.
Zaza is hella cute.
Actually, I used to have a friend named Zakia, and we would call her Zaza. That's beautiful.
That's cute. I love that. Mm-hmm. Zakia is really pretty, too. Mm-hmm. Well, Booba and Zaza is a children's book collection initiated by UNESCO Dakar and the Association of the Development of Education in Africa. The aim is to develop quality teaching materials adapted to an African context. The books are now being adapted to short educational films. This is the first one. So there's just a little quick intro for you. There's Zaza. She's cute. She's farming. She has her little braids.
Ooh.
You know, she's just hanging out.
I'm in. It's like Harry Potter, but black.
I know. And then there's Kirikou and the Men of Women. The men and women.
Wait.
There's...
the men of women?
No. What is this? This is like... This... Okay. So, it says... A young forest, a boy is kidnapped and brought into a strange palace in a place called Algorin, with the claim that he is the blood son of the dying king Obanoski and the chosen successor to the throne. Not just that, he is given a mandatory assignment which he has to fulfill before he can either accept or reject their offer. So accompanied by the little palace boy with whom he struck up a friendship, he is forced on a journey he at least reckons with. This sounds kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's interesting. There is a, I forgot, I feel like we talked about this before, but there is a writer who's essentially writing a black Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
Because, like, Africa is riddled with, like, magic
yep.
and kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's so rich full of amazing fantasy that, like,
right?
I don't know why we have not tapped into this.
Exactly.
Like, you know what, Tyler Perry, use all that fucking money you have and go make an amazing blockbuster set
right.
in Africa.
Leave
like,
Madea alone and start getting into
Leave her alone.
Some magical,
But you know what he would do?
Shit.
He'd essentially do, like, Madea Takes a Ring or, like, something like Maria Maria's fine.
I know.
But Medea goes to Mordor or something.
I know, it'd be so dumb.
It would be Lord of the Rings, which is her.
Just, like, dubbed in. It would be terrible.
But, like, Spike Lee, you have hella money. Like, you should go.
Right. Do one of these things. Oh, this one sounds fun. You'd be into this one. It's called Red Origins. Red Origins is an African animated series created by Cool Knot Productions, and it is an up-and-coming independent animated comic and game productions company. It focuses on providing diverse media that is predominantly centered on, but not exclusive to, untapped and emerging markets of African magical futurism.
I'm in it. We need to go back to the magic of Africa, because that shit was magical. It's so magical.
Mm-hmm. Red Origins. It looks really cool. The lead character has, like, dreadlocks, and there's, like, a white guy in there, too. And there's, like, a bad guy that has, like, these weird, like, he looks kind of like E-40.
Ooh. I mean, and I can, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to fundraise. The Minority Corner is going to produce its own Game of Thrones-esque series.
Yes.
We can only survive on the money that you all donate to us, so.
Mm-hmm. Give us some money, we'll do this.
We will do it.
There is Bilal. This looks cool. It's like CGI, kind of like animation. A new breed of hero. 1,000 years ago, one boy with a dream of becoming a great warrior is abducted with his sister and taken to the land far away from home. Thrown into a world where greed and injustice rules all, Bilal finds the courage to raise his voice and make a change. Inspired by true events, this is a story of a real hero who earned his remembrance in time and history. It looks really cool. He's wearing a cool mask.
Wow. Ooh, he has a mask? You should have said that earlier. I would have been even more excited.
All right, and I'm going to do one more before I die of coughing again. Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. She's almost, she's there.
It's called The Royal Whiz Kids, in kids with a Z, because that's always fun.
I knew it's going to have a Z.
It's always fun.
Ah, that's way more fun. I love it when kids have a Z.
Me too.
We need to use more Z's.
A backwards K.
I'm going to start spelling my name with a Z on that.
James.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm into it too. I deserve it. Okay. Oh my God, that's going to be great. I'm
so
excited.
So, the Royal Whiz Kids. One of Benny's main wells is contaminated, and there might be a waterborne disease outbreak. Watch the Royal Whiz Kids as they try and bring an immediate solution. So, that's kind of cool.
Because they need water. That's a real ass shit, though, because they're like, fuck, we need water.
Right?
Do you know I ever heard this quote that if the wars of the 20th century were fought over oil, yeah, the wars of the 21st century will be fought over
water? Damn. Royal Whiz Kids bringing it to you first.
They're like, listen, we're ahead of the game. We already know what's going down.
The animation looks a little jank, but whatever. I'm just going to give them a pass on
it. I was wondering what the quality of this animation was. But anyways, I know two things for sure. My kids are going to be only watching these African cartoons.
There's so many.
And Sailor Moon. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be studying meditation, mindfulness, and Buddhism.
Yes.
Those are the things I know for a fact, and my kids will be hella dope.
I love it. And I think that they are going to be so much more experienced because of it. So there is way more on this list. We will post the list and then
post
explore,
it, watch it,
share with people,
gather the family.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah, there's a lot of cool ones.
Thanks, Aneke. I never even thought about
you're
this.
You're welcome. I'm sorry this is such a short one, but, you know, I do what I do.
Well, you're dying, so it's okay. We gotta get as much as we can in before Aneke leaves us.
No.
Well, I got a Quizlet Corner coming up for you, and if you're not in a fever dream,
let's do it.
We'll see if you can pass it.
Maybe it'll make it more fun.
Because you're going to be like, woo, bananas! Yes. And I'm like, what are you, girl? No, what are you talking
about? I'm like,
about?
Just go like, with it.
Boobies! Fever dream. Michelle Obama's boobies in the face.
Oh my God, that sounds like an amazing fever dream. Just saying.
Is that illegal to say? Will, like, the NSA come after us because we talked about Michelle Obama's breasts?
Maybe.
We're not doing it in a weird way.
I don't know. I hope not.
I would be okay with, like, suckling up to, like, if I was ever going to get breastfed again, I would want it to be the first lady.
Once again, I'm going to leave that on the floor and walk away from it.
See you in Quizlet Corner.
All right, let's go. Quizlet Corner, Quizlet Corner, I'm sick, so let's see how this goes.
I thought it was actually just going to be you going Quizlet Corner, Quizlet. That's what I thought was going to happen.
I held it together. I held it together.
Well, lady, here we go. Thank a Quizlet you. Corner for let's you. Let's do it. I think it's a short one today. Oh, there's okay. only three. Here we go. Only three.
But wait, what am I doing?
Wouldn't you like to know? Here we go, Quizlet Corner. I'm just going to jump in. You have to figure out the rules as you go along. Yeah, I'm not going to explain the rules to you. Lord. We're going to see if you not only guess the right answer, but guess the rules.
This is like a fever dream right now.
It's like every week I up the ante for you. It's like next week you'll have to do this while jumping through lava.
I know.
Here we go. God,
I'm scared. Okay, let's do it.
GOP delegates face death threats from Trump supporters. I'm not going to tell you what you're looking for.
I don't even. All right.
All right. Jay-Z is moving. Jay-Z is moving to the West Coast. Here he comes, Portland, Oregon. Don't know what you're looking for. And the last one. Get out of the way, Nala. Simba doesn't need you anymore because he's gay.
These just sound like weird statements that you're just like yelling at me right now. Okay. One of them is that's false. That's
true. Yes. Right? All right. So now you got your first point. You've guessed the game. So now you've got one point. All right.
Good. Okay. Good. I'm up one, everybody. Okay. I'm going to say that Jay-Z is not moving to Portland, Oregon, because there has been a hoax going around the internet that says famous people are moving to podunk towns, and it is not true.
Oh. You know what? It is not true. You're right. You won. But Jay-Z is moving to the West. He's actually technically already on the West Coast. But he's moving from L.A. to... Oh. He's going to be your neighbor. He's moving to Oakland.
He's not moving to Oakland.
I'm not kidding. This is true. He's moving to Oakland. He said that he's tired of the L.A. lifestyle, and he's looking for some big changes in his life. Him and his wife, Beyonce, are moving to Oakland. Why are you fighting me on this?
Because it sounds exactly like that hoax. Because I read something about Matthew McConaughey moving to, like, Petaluma, and he said the same thing, where he's like, I am tired of the life in L.A., and I need to move to Petaluma.
I can see this happening because, for one, you know, Black Panthers originated from Oakland, and Beyonce's all about it right now.
This is true.
So I could see them being like, happening. Well, that's the one that, as far as...
If it does happen... I'll be so excited.
As far as I can just see you and Bae hanging out all the time.
Oh my god.
And here's the thing. I think that they would buy a house here. I don't think they'd spend most of their time there. I think they just would have a house and be like, send my mail there.
Probably. It's probably like their like money laundering business will be in Oakland.
Yes, that's exactly it. So yes, the GOP delegates have been facing death threats from Trump supporters. And not just like against like their families and shit.
Shit has gone wild. I'm gonna
read you
wild.
Some of the things that have been happening to them. And some of these, and so it's kind of becoming because like the Trump campaign hasn't said, hey, don't bully. They've like fostered an environment for this sort of shenanigans and for this shit. People have been getting things saying, warning against traditional burial and saying, we are watching you. Yeah, they talked about, you know, bloodshed, and most of the, and in some way, they've been getting phone calls, all kinds of things. Whoa. Yeah, and most of them have, actually now before the Trump rallies, they've said to not physically harm protesters, but to just chant to them, Trump, Trump, Trump.
Oh my god. Okay, well, at least there's no violence.
Well, I mean, the violence is still happening, and they've not really come out against and, like, saying... to not do it. So, there's violence happening within the GOP, community, and, yeah.
Oh my god.
But let's talk about these gay lions. Sorry, Nala. Simba's gay. So, there was two male...
Tell me about these gay lions.
Two male lions were spotted mating and showing no interest in the lioness.
Oh, poor lioness, just on the sideline.
She was actually watching. There were photos. It was so sad.
Oh, maybe she was into it. She's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's like, get at it, boys.
This is good.
Get it, boys.
Get it.
Oh, look, my boy.
Hey, that would also apply to our Afro gays.
Oh, that's true. Oh, look, my boyfriend wants to thumb kiss with me. The couples app is in full swing right now.
Cute.
So yeah, but the lawyer said she was like, she was this lawyer, Nicole Cambry. She took pictures during their trip. I'm going to multitask, talk about this, and thumb kiss my boyfriend at the same time.
Wow, okay, I'm ready. You're doing it all. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to stay alive
over
here.
It's like I'm making out with him and thumb kissing with you at the same time. Or I'm thumb kissing you or him. I'm confused.
I don't... Am I in a fever dream right now?
Thumb kiss.
My dogs are outside my door moaning.
You are in a fever dream.
Shit's getting weird right
but
now.
But she said that, like, she was taking these photos of them mating, and they, there was the one, they had scared the other lionesses away, but one was hanging out, and she just watched.
Just let her watch.
Can I circle back to the violence against the violence about the Trump supporters and, like, the harassment?
Yeah.
It's okay. Very similar, so you had asked about, you know, I'm taking a break from Facebook, right?
Okay, yeah. Right.
So it's sort of like the same harassment that these Trump supporters are giving to these delegates about the delegates choosing to vote however it is that they're going to vote. It's the same sort of harassment that I got from people in my Facebook network about, I was very disappointed with just, like, how the things are happening in terms of, like, Bernie Sanders, and, you know, I'm a huge Bernie Sanders fan, and for me, like, I feel like, you know, my ancestors have fought for me to have my right to vote, and for me, that means a lot to me, and voting means different things for different people, and for me, I'm not going to give someone my vote if I don't trust them or like them, so I would still, at the end of the day, write in a candidate that I feel comfortable with. And I think that, like, I don't feel like it's throwing, for me personally, I don't think it's throwing my vote away. It's me being able to sleep at night. Everybody has to be true to your own person. Anyways, I got so much harassment from a lot of people who are my quote-unquote friends and publicly harassing me. And it's just, like, thinking it's, like, the social media shit has gone too crazily. Like, I see shit that people post on Facebook all the time. And I don't go out of my way to, like, troll them and comment on everything that they post because I have a life to live. Like, you know, my Facebook wall is me posting things that sometimes it's me just wanting to vent. Sometimes it's me just posting things and you could agree, you could not agree. You don't have to attack me about it. And to me, it's like, if there's something that I'm doing or saying that's, like, really, you need to steer me in the right direction, by all means, I'm not saying I don't want to have a conversation. I just don't want to have an argument publicly. Because in the real world, you would not, in front of thousands of people, attack me for my own thoughts or ideas. You might pull
send a message.
You might pull me aside. You know, let's get some coffee. Let's, you know, go out or some, or yeah, send me a private message. What I'm doing is that crazy? Then absolutely. Because one, it shows me that you really care about this.
Right.
And that you, too, care about me. And it's not just about you publicly, you know, trying to strong arm other people into your opinion.
Right.
And so I have not been this harassed since I accidentally tweeted something about the NRA.
Oh my God.
And my Twitter, I had to...
Sorry, not to laugh
No,
at
it's
that.
True, but I got my phone, I was being harassed by people across the country relentlessly because I had posted something about the NRA.
Oh my God.
And these are people I know and people who call themselves my friends.
Oh, man.
And I just was like, you know what? I'm taking a break. I don't need this in my life right now. I don't need this toxicity. At the end of the day, I just want to post pictures of me traveling, hang out with my boyfriend, hang out with my friends. So
that's good.
I guess that's what Instagram is for.
That's kind of. Can I interject a little bit? This is why I feel like I've been slowly fading away from Facebook, and I think that the younger kids of our generation
have already done
get the same picture.
They've already been like, I'm out.
Right.
It's just the older folks.
Right. It's kind of turned into a yelling match.
Yeah.
And I've participated in that in the past where I've gotten into Facebook arguments. And I've also been in the middle of Facebook arguments. And everybody has a valid point. But unfortunately, when you are having an argument within a comment section, you're missing the nuance of each other's points.
Yeah.
And it just turns into an attack.
Yes.
So that's why... I haven't been posting too much on Facebook because I just get kind of annoyed of opinions.
Yeah.
Which everybody has a right to have, but I just feel like it's so personal. It's almost like it's an impersonal personal that happens on Facebook.
Because you could do like a...
And I wish that...
You could do like a drive-by just thought opinion. Like, and people do it like they're just sort of like drive-by thought opinion. And it's just like, you feel like you're getting hit, and it does feel like a personal attack, as opposed to, like, I'm more likely to listen if you shoot me a private message, or call me up, use my fucking phone number. Call me. I'll talk with you. Let's get
right. I know. I feel like I don't know. I've been trying to, and I think, I don't know if it's because I'm getting old and tired, or if I'm just maturing, or if I'm just, like, learned my lesson, but I just don't engage anymore.
Right, well,
I just can't.
I've been, and I know it's a shock and surprise to any of you who follow me on Facebook that I'm not, you know, posting anything, but I realize, like, how much of my,
stop.
It's been nice to be 2 days free of Facebooking, and I think I'm going to take a social media break for about a month. And even then, I'm just going to come back probably. I like posting pictures because I travel a lot and I like people being able to see my pictures. And for me, it's like I like looking back.
Right.
I want to be 20 years from now, look back, and I don't want to keep all these pictures on my computer. I ain't got the space for that.
Yeah.
But I can look back and it's sort of like my, you know, journal and documentary of my life. So.
Right. It's nice. I like post. I post things that are, and I know it's good to like have a political conversation and get active, but when it turns into such a one-upmanship, I would rather just post recipes.
I don't think that Facebook like is the best place to have these conversations. I think it's a great place to share information, but in the same way, like
right.
if there, I read an article and I don't agree with the writer. I don't, like, write a letter to him because I don't have the time. But for some reason, because people are in your same network, or I have people who maybe came to a show of mine. I have no idea who you are. I'm not trying to, like, you know, say I don't appreciate you being in my network. But, like, it doesn't give you access to try to attack me for my own opinion that you disagree with. So
I do have to say I am angry at you a little bit. You ready to hear why I'm a little angry at you?
Why?
Because you took a break. Right when I posted a video to your page.
What video? I haven't been on Facebook. I have no idea.
It is the best video ever.
Oh, no.
And I'm mad that you didn't see
it. Literally, yeah. I was like, I'm done. I wrote my Declaration of Independence for social media.
I know.
And then in a cage.
It literally, I posted it on your page, and then I was like, oh, and saw your, like, declaration.
So
it's of a lemur getting his back scratched by two kids.
I am checking email. You can text me. I also want to put out a quick shout-out to anybody who I get a lot of my information from, like, what you all post on Facebook and my feed. So if you have a topic that you'd like us to cover, please email minoritycorner@gmail.com. That please do, because...
Corner with a K.
Corner with a K, because I get a lot of my info... crowdsource my information, so please do.
Yeah, please share us. If you want us to talk about something, email us. Tweet us at Minority Corner with a K.
Yes. And be mindful of how you engage in social media with others, because I think we communicate with people via social media not the same way we would if they were in person. It's very easy to react, and I think in general we need to react less and just sort of sit with being uncomfortable and find a more mindful way to connect with other people that we actually do care about.
I like that. So. I think it's good. I think we all need to just recognize that behind every post there's a person with feelings.
That's beautiful. I would like to close on that. Like, yeah. So.
And watch that video. It's a lemur getting his back scratched.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd like to see. All right.
And then when the kid stops scratching his back, he, like, starts patting it hella angry, being like, more, pat me more.
Well, I don't need to see the video. I just saw you describe it.
Well, that's true.
Okay. Let's wrap it up like a condom.
All right. Dick. Well, it was fun chatting with you again, Sir James.
Oh, I thought we were going to hit pause and then come back, but no, we're just...
Okay, never mind. Oh, did you hit pause? Are we still
going?
We can just keep going.
I'll just be like, all right, well, here we are at the end of the episode, Aneke.
Yay, it was so much fun chatting with you, Sir James.
I hope you are still alive. Oh my God, Aneke, your wedding is coming up.
I know, and I'm, like, dead. I don't understand how this is going to happen.
It's good that you're getting this out of your system now. Take a lot of vitamins, you know.
It's going to be a freaking weekend at Bernie's at this wedding. Someone's going to have to prop me up and put some sunglasses on me and, like, roll me down the aisle.
I'm actually now hoping you actually get worse just so I can witness this happening.
Just so that can happen? Oh, it's going to be a hot mess, everybody.
We are also hoping to something for you guys to look out for in the next corner episodes. We're hoping to do a live podcast from Aneke's wedding. It may or may not happen, so don't be upset if it doesn't happen.
We'll see what happens.
And
we'll go with the
some topics. I know I said weeks ago I was going to be talking about the hashtag gay media is so white. That is coming up for you in the coming weeks. And also, I would like to do, coming up next, not next, but in the coming weeks, you can look out for this, that will be talking about how to overcome and identifying trauma. Most of us in healing from it, most of us minorities and folks have had trauma, and we don't understand what it really is, and how to identify it, become aware of it, and how to heal and move through it.
I like how you bring up all these topics, and I had no idea about it. What is happening? Am I a part of what's
this investigation? Oh, these are topics.
What's happening?
We'll be talking about those in the next coming weeks.
Okay. News to me, too.
Well, I told you about...
me and the audience.
Hashtag gay meetings away. I've been meaning to talk about that. I told them weeks ago.
Yeah,
to talk about
that. Yeah, that made... Yeah, I know that. That's,
I just...
I'm still...
I just still things I have lined up, you know? I like how your camera's moving. You are prepared. Are you zooming in on your face right now?
No, it's my legs are moving.
I was like, Aneke is like a camera operator. I can't handle this. All right, Aneke's breaking into her fever dream, so that means we got to get the fuck out of here. Girl, heal better.
Let's go.
Get better.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at
your
wedding.
I'll see you in person.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh my God.
Here comes the...
Okay, wish me luck.
Is that what you say to someone before they get married? Good luck?
Yes.
I thought you say congratulations.
That's after it's done.
Okay, well, good luck, Aneke. I'll be there to help, holding a microphone.
Thank you.
I'm just going to record everything that happens, like narrating it to the viewers. Lord. Oh, she's holding her dress. Okay, she's in tears. She's crying. Oh, she's drinking. She's drunk. Oh, her titty.
I'm just going to be drunk.
Her titty fell out. Her
poopy
fell out.
Uh-oh, put it back in. Slip that titty back in.
Her mom's dancing, so all those things, yeah.
Okay, we need to go. Right.
See you next week in person.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Is that too much? Was it too much?
No, it worked.